Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host and our lead fantasy analyst, who will be celebrating a birthday this week, Dylan White. I'm putting you on the spot, birthday boy. How's it going, Dylan?
That's not too bad. Not too bad. Just recovering from Easter Sunday, the long weekend. And it's now Easter Monday when we're recording it. Is that a thing, Easter Monday? I guess it is, right?
So yeah, that's where we're at. Makes sense. Monday after Easter, you got to recover from all those candy eggs and eating lots of sweetened ham. What do you guys, do you have a thing you do in Canada? Is there a Canadian Easter tradition, or is it the same as America? Do you guys have a tradition? Do you celebrate Easter?
We do celebrate Easter. We have the Good Friday off. That's a statutory
holiday. I meant in Canada. I meant like you specifically. Yes. I figured Canada.
It used to just be I have to see my parents type of thing, because my dad's birthday is April 1st. My birthday is April 12th. So, and Easter is usually around there. So it's like, I guess I got to go see my parents this long weekend, that type of thing, when I was at university and stuff. So I don't think there's a turkey or ham or like Sunday roast or some sort of tradition. I don't think we never did, but that's my Easter Sunday. So I ended up just watching baseball.
Yeah, I ended up spending most of my time, with the kids. They got their baskets in the morning from the big old bunny, and then went to my parents' house. My father made a ham, really good mac and cheese he made too from scratch. It was delicious, and then they had an Easter egg hunt, and it was over in about 4 minutes because my parents are really bad at hiding things. They've just always been bad at hiding things. You know, everyone's got different strengths, different weaknesses, just like your fantasy team. Look at that segue. Tied it right in. Strengths and weaknesses sometimes might be physical as well. That's one of O'Neill Cruz's weaknesses. It seems like he's got a little bit of trouble sliding into bases. Big injury, really unfortunate injury. I think there was a lot of folks that had a lot invested in O'Neill Cruz this year, at least for their teams. You know, it looked like he could potentially be a breakout, somebody that's really exciting to watch. I think just as a baseball fan, even beyond the fantasy dynasty connotation. But anytime there's injuries like this, and there were a lot of injuries this week, actually, with widely owned players, there's always opportunity that lies on the other side. So, Dylan, I'm going to put you on the spot now with some of these names. O'Neill Cruz, what are we reading? What are we hearing? Who do we think is going to be the big winner in terms of the available playing time now in Pittsburgh, with, I believe, Cruz is having surgery as well. So he's going to be on the shelf for quite a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so he had the surgery, what I hear, and he's out for 4 months. So I'm hearing it's going to be Rodolfo Castro playing short, which means Jiwon Bae is probably going to get a lot of run at second base. I think he you know, putting aside any of the off-field stuff, I think he's the one that you would be targeting for fantasy production. He's gonna, you know, he's got a little bit of pop, maybe 10 home runs or so, and then stolen bases in the 20s probably. He's already gotten two. He got two on the first day, I believe. He also has outfield eligibility, so he's going to be the interesting one. I know it. O'Neill Cruz was having that breakout. He was, his strikeout rate is quote unquote only 20%. He was at 17.5% walk rate. He obviously had the max EV of like 116 miles an hour. You know, he's got the 2020 up to 30-30 potential. It was all looking good. And I know that, like you said, it has damaged a lot of fantasy teams. I know in a couple mains, TGFBI, OCs, he's been dropped, which, you know, is maybe a stash opportunity a bit later. It's playing the chicken game of when do you try to pick him up before your league mates do. But yeah, real tough injury for O'Neill Cruz. I really wanted to see him play a full year. So yeah, disappointing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is what my friend Gray Albright would call a bit of a situation. Not necessarily an opportunity you want to get involved in. I think, you know, like, they're all guys where there is some potential upside. Like Castro, I think, you know, Weijon Bae, who last time I had watched him, he was like in the outfield predominantly. But there's an opportunity there. I think he runs a little bit. I always kind of like Castro was like a deep sleeper when he was coming up, like through the Pittsburgh system. There's some pop there. I never thought the approach was real great. He's not really the type of guy that, you know, I roster all over the place. But that said, like, you're in an NL only league, or, you know, you're looking for, you know, potential opportunities. It looks like he's walking a lot this year, actually, because it's only 18 at bats. So I shouldn't get ahead of myself. But, you know, I can see, you know, he's 23 years old. Like I said, there's some pop in the bat. It's a guy that hit, you know, throughout his career in the minors. You're not going to get much speed there, but I think, like, if you can get double-digit home runs, which he did last year, and maybe with, like, more playing opportunity, it's like 15, 16, 17, 18 plus. Okay. Like, he's probably going to drain your batting average a little bit. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of their potential options here, but I suppose it could be worse. Is Ji-Hwan Bae your pick here to sort of rise above the fray, or?
Yeah, I think so. I think I had Rodolfo Castro in a 15 team dynasty, and we dropped him just because roster crunch.
Yeah.
But Bae is basically rostered everywhere, even before this injury. So I think he's kind of the clear. If he wasn't rostered before, he's probably rostered now. He yeah. went for like $50 in, I think, one of my mains this week. But he was gone the week before early because of the stolen bases. He's kind of like the, maybe he could be the John Birdie flyer that everyone's hoping for this year. So yeah, well, I think
probably
it's
gonna be a little more power, probably. Like, there's more upside there, you know. Than Birdie, or maybe
Birdie. I just Birdie's mean the guy that could steal 30.
Yeah, that's true. Up
and then like steals 30, like Bubba Thompson, or
sure. And he just hasn't played shortstop in like a really long time. You know, my hope is that somehow this opens up opportunities for Kanan Smith and Jigba, because I have him all over the place, and in like both of my NL only leagues, was a guy that I picked up off the waiver wire because he hit the ball well early in camp. I kind of like him anyway. Left-handed bat, gets on base, you know, a little bit of pop. But I think we'd probably need another injury for that one to happen, because we got McCutcheon and Reynolds and Jack Swoon-Inski, old bad joke, sorry, in center field. So I don't know if it's going to open up any opportunity because he's been playing the infield, but I guess, you know, somebody else goes down. You never know. Some DH time, maybe. I don't know. He's the guy in Pittsburgh that I like the most as a sleeper. So I guess the injury was just in the wrong spot for my particular fantasy squads. But yeah, you're right. And both of those guys were actually owned in all of my NL only leagues. So not a whole lot there. All right. The next one, and this one breaks my heart because I have quite a few shares. Shares the right word? Is that still an appropriate term to use? Shares of Michael Harris II. Strained lower back. I don't think he's going to be on the aisle that long. I would say that this is probably like a minimal sort of IL stay. You know, he's 22. Get the heating pad on there. Rest up a little bit, Michael. He should heal up well. So this is really more of a temporary situation. It looks like Sam Hilliard, as we were talking about offline, one of my old Rockies and Hartford boys, kind of a weird, freaky athlete for his size, too. It looks like Hilliard's going to get some playing time and run in the interim. He's really interesting to me because he's had some big steal numbers in the past. He hasn't had in a while, but maybe with more opportunity, more at bats, we could see a little bit of power speed upside. You know, he always walked in the minors too. Are you a Hilliard guy? Is there anybody else in this mess that you're interested in?
I am kind of a Hilliard guy.
He's a Hilliard man.
I do think it is going to be a minimal IL stint. I think that they're saying it's just going to be the 10 days, and he's already missed three, I think. Hilliard's kind of like the Dylan Moore type, where it's like the batting average is not good, but it's like 20 home runs, 30 stolen bases type of thing if it was prorated for 600 plate appearances. So sure. I used to have Hilliard a lot when he play in Coors, so I'd get him for those weeks just to get some counting stats. So yeah, I kind of like Hilliard, but like, it's not a long-term investment. Harris is going to be back soon. But Harris hasn't really been hitting very well. He has like a 46 WRC plus, like 67% ground ball rate. I think he's still chasing the way he went. Like it's not like he's,
the skills aren't great, sir.
Yeah. It's not like you're, I mean, you want him back obviously, but it's not like you're missing him on your team because he was doing so much production. So yeah. Nothing really there other than Harris is injured. Hopefully this, you know, backs are scary in general for careers, but I think it's just a little bit of tightness just from a bad slide.
Yeah, and that makes some sense. The next injury we're going to talk about, this is an unfortunate one here in Boston, and that is Adam Duvall with a fractured wrist, which it's going to be a while, and when guys come back from these injuries, they are not always 100%, and it's the power that slips and slides. He was absolutely raking, looked like an actual find for the Red Sox, maybe the first of Chaim Bloom's tenure here in Boston. But this is an unfortunate one. We've seen more play from Ramil Tapia in center field. They called up Bobby Dalbec, who I know you had mentioned could be playing shortstop, and that Enrique Hernandez could be moving to center field more often. That's really scary. That honestly downgrades Boston pitching more than it's already been downgraded. If you have Bobby Dalbec playing shortstop, no disrespect to Bobby, but they moved him off of third base to first base. And, you know, the arm was good. I never thought he was a terrible defensive third baseman. I have never for 1 minute in my life thought that Bobby Dalbec would play shortstop in the major leagues, but here we are, right? What's your takeaway here? Do you think there's any big winners? Is it Tapia? He had a nice homer the other day, but it's still 29-year-old Ramil Tapia, someone I once ranked as a top 25 prospect. I have my misses.
I always liked Tapia too because of the Colorado factor. I think we were talking off air as well that the Red Sox have this brutal, well, I guess not brutal, this odd span of like 6 of 7 pitchers are facing are lefties, and I think it's like 11 of 13 or something like that. So I think they're gonna put Jaron Duran in eventually once they get past those lefties, kind of put him in a position to succeed so he doesn't do any more pouting. Speaking of Tapia and the grand slam that Duran gave up, quote unquote. Anyway, sorry, I digress. I think I looked at Adam Duvall. I didn't even realize how well he was doing. I know he was doing well. I knew he had like the walk-off home runs and all that, but he was like second in year-to-date value earned this year behind Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, he was raking.
Yeah, yeah, like 14 RBIs. And he plays good defense too, which is surprising, obviously.
He's a good outfield. More of a corner outfield guy. He's fine in center, but like, yeah, good corner outfielder. There's real pop in the bat. It's just always been the approach that I feel like has kind of limited his long-term viability wherever he's been. But you're not bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously losing Duvall is going to be huge for people who had him. I don't know if Duran's going to be the answer. I think it's good for Enrique Hernandez, especially with this 2-week stretch against lefties where he's going to probably hit at the top of the order. He was already going to have shortstop eligibility pretty soon. He has outfield right now only. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd have to go with Duran. I don't know if it's Tapia. I don't know if it's Ref Snyder. I know that they have put up pretty good numbers.
Connor Wong at catcher for all these lefties they're facing.
Yeah, no, that's true too. I don't know. I think really there's no real actionable news other than grieving the loss of Adam Duvall.
Oh, poor Adam Duvall. Everybody's favorite closer sleeper and 100-mile-per-hour thrower, Andreas Munoz of the Seattle Mariners. He also went down with an injury. This was like a complicated name for whatever it was. I forget what it was. Deltoid strain, I think. What was it?
A deltoid strain, I think.
Yes, so which is a strained shoulder, which is never great to hear. I think this just pushes up Paul Sewald's value. You got Matt Brash with some more high leverage opportunities, and maybe Penn Murphy, you know, potentially comes into play here a little bit too. But I like Sewald as like an underrated guy who is probably going to get like at least 50% of the saves share coming into the season. So this injury is justifying that. So I guess it's helping me a little bit in a couple of my leagues where I have Sewald. But any other big takeaways there? We're kind of flying through these now because they're not as important.
No, I think from what I hear, deltoid strains in general could either be just like a couple days or a couple months, but it sounds like this is one of the couple days variety. So Sewald hopefully can nab a few saves. Hopefully this isn't a long-term injury for Munoz because he's electric and it's fun watching him pitch. That three-headed monster they have in Seattle is pretty fun too. I have Munoz in a couple places. I also have Sewald in a couple places. So it's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, so you're split a little bit. Next one, everybody's favorite personality in baseball, joking. Josh Donaldson went down with a strained hamstring. We know how hammies are, man. They can sometimes be, you know, minimum stay. Sometimes they can, you know, be a month and then you're back for 3 days and then you hurt it again and you're gone for another month. He's older. I mean, at this point, you know, Donaldson is 36, 37, actually 37. So, I wouldn't be investing too much at this point in Donaldson to begin with. But if you have him someplace, I don't really know if there's an obvious add, right? I mean, like DJ LeMay, he's going to play third base. His playing time is, I guess, guaranteed. Glaber's playing every day. That's guaranteed. Volpe is still batting ninth, and you know, whatever questions you may have about Anthony Volpe at this point, I don't think it's going to push him out of the lineup. I don't even know if it impacts anyone anywhere other than somehow Franchi Cordero is back in the major leagues again with a job, but not.
Yeah, Franchi is actually doing pretty well. In the brief few games he's played, his strikeout rate is
gone. Franchi will get you to bite. That's what Franchi does.
Yeah, Franchi is another Sam Hilliard, Dylan Moore type guy with the power and the speed, but terrible hit tool. They called up Willie Calhoun as well. I think really all that does is just give DJ more sort of regular playing time. And if we know Josh Donaldson and his leg injuries, they're not usually just 10 days. They're usually nagging all season. So I think this is kind of what people who had DJ LeMahieu were kind of hoping in terms of playing time that he'd get when it was kind of looking sketchy, especially when they called up Volpe, where would DJ play? But so I think it's best for him. He did lead off yesterday and then today he's got a day off. They got IKF playing third base today, actually. I think DJ LeMahieu is the one with the arrow up.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Next injury here as we kind of roll through these. Do you roster Joe Musgrove anywhere?
I do, actually, yes.
How frustrating was it to be like, he's coming back. I'm going to get him back next week. I can't wait to activate this guy. I have him in a 30-team league, actually. And he's kind of like my de facto ace. though Kodai Sanga currently seems to be filling in admirably. That's a word I shouldn't try to say. Yeah, man, this kills me because now it's a shoulder injury and the fractured toe didn't really bother me that much. I felt like it was a really good discount during draft season. This shoulder injury and anything with shoulders really just is like the worst thing with pitchers. So I'm hoping that it's minimal, but I don't think he's played catch yet, if I remember correctly, reading the news before we hopped on here, and they're kind of going to take it slow. So we don't know what's going to happen here with Joe Musgrove. Hopefully it is minimal, and by the time this comes out, Joe's going to make play some catch with his dad in the backyard and have a moment, and we'll be good to go. I don't know. But I don't know if this just keeps the same guys. They're running a six man right now anyway. But I would imagine this is good for, I guess, Ryan Weathers, because I don't think they're taking Nick Martinez and certainly not Michael Wacha the way he's pitched out of the rotation. I guess it's like Weathers and Lugo, and like, who do you like there? Are there any options you're adding here or just sort of like lamenting the loss of Joe Musgrove?
It's pretty much lamenting the loss. I did take him in TGFBI because right around that round, it was when it kind of sounded like he may only miss like two starts. They weren't totally sure of the prognosis. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to take him because I can wait a week. And then it turned out to be obviously what it was. And then it looked like he was coming back. This is the whole roller coaster ride. He was going to come back and pitch tomorrow. This is what they were thinking last week. So he'd have actually a two-start week. So not only would he come back, but he'd have a two-start week. And then they said, oh, actually, now they're going to give him another rehab start. So then it was going to be maybe a Sunday start, which is always dicey, because if that gets pushed back, you've lost the week. And now he's got the shoulder thing. So yeah, it's not been fun for Musgrove. I've been holding him the entire season. I'm starting to kind of regret that.
Oh, well, at least it's only been a couple of weeks. Let's hope that maybe it's just a few more weeks in the IL and then he's back doing his thing. You know, better to end well than to begin well, right? I think Confucius said that, or at least I got it in a fortune cookie and they credit it to him. Let's move on to some happy news, Dylan, before we play some fun sell or buy or sells, you know, whatever. Francisco Alvarez, everybody's favorite troll catcher. He calls himself troll, so that's okay. Was called up to the Mets. I mean, I don't know how much he's playing at this point. Behind the plate, he's not great. The bat is the big selling point here. What are you feeling on Alvarez? I didn't check on the lineup today, which is Monday when we're recording this. I know he was in the lineup on Sunday for the first time. Don't know if he's playing today or not, but there you go. So what are your feelings on Alvarez? I kind of feel like it's one of these call-ups where he might be riding the back and forth bus from, you know, Flushing to Syracuse a little bit more than he'd probably like. I hope they have a plane and not a bus, but still, you know what I'm saying. I don't know, man. Like, I love Alvarez. I love the power upside. I just wish they would slot him in a DH and let him mash, man. Just let him do it. You know, you trade in the biggest beefy boy for a slightly less beefy boy in Francisco Alvarez. I guess they're just going to play Vogelbach and platoon him with Tommy Pham, which, fine, okay, I get it. But bring him up. Let him play. Bring up Beatty, too. Beatty's back. He's making crazy plays at third base, man. Like, let's bring back the boys. Let the young Mets, you know, drive the bottom of this order, man. We'd be a much more interesting lineup if they had those two guys at the bottom of the lineup as opposed to Vogelbach / Tommy Pham and Eduardo Escobar. But I digress.
Yeah, it's you know, I love Francisco Alvarez. I didn't actually bid on him in the leagues I could in the redraft leagues because he's got utility only right now. And he came up and he's only played, I think, one out of four games. And so, like, how long do I have to wait before he gets catcher eligibility? Because I think that's where you want him, obviously. I don't think he's worth it at util yet. And then Starling Marte had that neck strain or whatever you want to call it. And so it sounds like Tommy Pham will probably get the playing time there, which means there's an opening at DH. But then today they didn't play him. So I don't know what's going on. I hope they play him. Omar Narvaez is out for a while. So I hope they at least play him just to see what they got. And then, like you said, bring up Brett Beatty and have him play too. Because, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the Mets season was supposed to be this dream season, and then they lost Edwin Diaz. Their pitching hasn't really been there. And so, like, why don't you kind of, you know, inject new blood and get some ink spilled, digital ink spilled on how you're playing all your young guns.
Damn it. I was muted. I said, play your young guns. Come on. Do it, Steve Cohen.
Yeah, exactly.
Fans demand it of you, sir. And you're a man of the people, so let's make it happen. I got some other good news for you because we went through so much bad news. We got some have some good news now. Dre Jameson is in the rotation on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being incredibly excited. You're going to run through your house and scream. 1 being a really bad dry cookie. How excited are you for Dre Jameson?
I'm reasonably excited. I'm happy for him. I mentioned a couple podcasts ago that I kind of liked him in the bullpen because he was dominant. He was mm-hmm. He could do multiple innings. He could eventually be the closer, maybe even. Like I saw him strike out Mookie Betts and like just kind of he went through the Dodgers. They got him the second time around, but he was looking really really sharp. So him being in the rotation, I'm sure that's probably where he wants to be. And I think he will be good. So I'm as excited as I was. As a guy who will be like a Michael King type, where you know you throw 80 to 90 solid ratio innings with good strikeouts. I think that's kind of what you're going to get, the equivalent of that when he's in the rotation. I'm happy for him. I have him in a couple leagues. He was basically owned in the other leagues, so didn't really get a chance in the redrafts to pick him up. But I already have him in some other leagues, so I'm happy. I think he'll do quite well. Like a 1.25 WHIP, a 4.00 ERA, and yeah. getting better as the season goes on. So
yeah, and I like the stuff. I mean, I thought the slider was tremendous. He's got a deep arsenal of pitches. Like you said, he throws hard. He's got a couple of different fastball shapes. He's a good stuff guy. Definitely somebody that I've been a big Jameson guy since he was at Ball State. You know, he was one of my like draft sleepers that year. So I got some history with old Dre. And then I think he was a guy that I had written up as like someone you needed to get everywhere back at like the beginning of 2021 when I was still at our old site, Prospects Live. So, yeah, I've always been a big Dre Jameson guy. He was good in the pen. He was good last year at the end of the season when they called him up and had him in the rotation. So we've seen him have some success here. Now we just need, like, Madison Bumgarner to retire and then to bring Brandon Fatt into the picture. And then we'll all be happy guys because everybody wants a little bit of Brandon Fatt. But that's all the happy news that we have. And we're going to have, I guess, we're going to have a question. It's existential in a fantasy manner. And that is, when is Vaughn Grisham going to come up? I know we've talked offline. I don't know if it changed after yesterday's games, but the last time I checked, Vaughn Grisham was number one on RoboScout, the early version of RoboScout that you guys will be seeing. I think the first version of RoboScout within the next couple of weeks, days, sometime by month. I don't know. Very shortly. It will definitely be at the end of the month. But what are your thoughts on Vaughn Grisham? I always say Grisham, like John Grisham. I don't know. Anyway, Grisham, like, what are your thoughts there? I'm trying to acquire him everywhere I can. Cause I'm like, if I have minor league spots and I can keep Vaughn Grisham in the minor league spots, like I will hold him for a month and a half until the Braves decide they're not punishing him any longer or whatever the heck is going on here. Because the offense is there, man. I mean, he's one of the best players in AAA. He was good last year. I think the kid is good. And if you're looking at Dynasty, you're looking at long-term. And I think this guy's going to have reasonable return on value this season, especially with what you could probably trade to acquire him. What are your thoughts on Grissom? Because like you said, I don't know if it's changed, but I know RoboScout early was like, hey, this is the guy right now.
Yeah, no, he's still number one at AAA. I like the skills. I think a friend of the pod, Jordan Rosenblum, tweeted about how like his WRC plus projection is like higher than Ozzie Albies and who was it, Michael Harris, the other one? So like obviously the bat works. I don't know. I still don't really know what happened with the Braves sending him down. So if if there was something that happened off field or whatever, then yeah, maybe, you know, it's not the question of whether or not he.
I don't think it was anything like that. I think like defensively, he was probably a weird fit. I don't understand why with, you know, the recent injury with Harris, why they wouldn't call him up. I don't know. Maybe it is some service time type of stuff, games that they're playing here. You know, I also, to their credit, Orlando Arcia has been pretty good. And has been somebody that they add, you know, that people have been adding in fantasy. I think I have him in, you know, and added him in a 16 team league or something like that. So, I mean, it hasn't been bad, but I think that, you know, Grissom certainly has more upside than those guys, right? Like, we can't debate that.
No, definitely not. But the Braves signed Arcia to an extension as well. I mean, not a lucrative extension, really, but they are showing confidence in him. I don't know. Is that as a backup? What I do like is that, you know, you often see the cliche of they send someone like Grissom down, the hotshot youngster who had a cup of coffee at the end of the previous year and it was like had high hopes for the next season and then gets sent down and then, you know, pouts or, you know, maybe is disappointed and doesn't get it going down there. And there's questions about his attitude. Kind of like what was happening with O'Neill Cruz last year. There was talks about him kind of being, kind of complacent down there. But you see, Vaughn Grissom got sent down and he's just tearing the cover off the ball. So I think that's very encouraging. That's very good. He's not letting it get to him and he's going to fight his way back. So I do like Vaughn Grissom, definitely a target in Dynasty. Definitely a target in redraft at some point. And he's going to go for a lot of money when he finally gets the call.
Depending upon what your league is like if you can roster this guy or you have an available bench spot you can burn, probably not that different from a lot of guys that you'd probably have to hold on to if they were suspended and to tease someone like that. You know, it's just we don't know. Unlike the Chiefs, we don't know what the ETA is potentially at this point, but it could be the end of the month, right? It could be June. Like he's going to be back in the major leagues at some point, you know, or they're going to trade him to someone who will and get whatever they need, you know, to reinforce their title run with newfound long-term shortstop Orlando Arcia, I guess. But all right, Dylan, let's take a quick commercial break here and we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. I think it's the first time I've remembered to do an actual clean commercial break in like three podcasts. So kudos to me. I'm in mid-season form already, Dylan. What do you say about that? But we're going to get into a little bit of buying or selling. I wrote buying or flying because I like the rhyming, but I don't know if like flying really means anything. Buying or selling. First one we're going to throw out there, it is everybody's favorite last name. That is Chris Bubich. What do you think about Chris Bubich? I know the stuff looks like it's up. The performance has been good. The stuff plus data on from Eno Saris is kind of meh, but I think sometimes with those, it takes a little bit to stabilize, and especially the type of pitcher that Bubich is, it's not always going to set off the stuff plus models. I love stuff plus models. I use them all the time. We use them all the time. I do think we have our own stuff that we use, but it's not gospel. Like, you know, there's if he's pitching well and there's opportunity there, which there is plenty of opportunity in, Kansas City, I'm into it. Like, you know, he's 25, like left-handed pitcher, like the velo is up. Like, I don't see any reason not to take a flyer on him. The places that I didn't take a flyer on Bubich were places where like I had enough starters or like just didn't feel like I needed to like have them on my bench, which is probably stupid. But the performance has been good. Like he's throwing strikes. He's striking guys out. The batting average against has been low. All of the ERA indicators are really good. Like his FIP is actually lower than his ERA. If you like FIP, you know, whatever, but I don't see any reason not to buy in. Are you buying or selling on Bubich?
I'm buying and I bought him in the fab leagues I'm in. So his first outing, that's where he was getting some Twitter buzz about his stuff is up, the fastball's up, the slider's got sharper and there's more vertical separation on the changeup, etc. And so it was a question of let's see if he can sustain into the second start, which was yesterday, Sunday against San Francisco. So yesterday he had 19 whiffs out of 76 pitches. He had a Z contact of 61%, where like the lowest average Z contact in the majors is like 71% for DeGrom. So he had like two back-to-back great starts, is my point. So, you know, you get the, I'm not saying he's Spencer Strider, but you get these guys once a year who break out, like Giolito or even Brady Singer, his teammate, who end up having, you know, like a 3.5 ERA, good whip, play the whole season. And I have a feeling that he could be that guy. The pitching bot, Cameron Levy's model, has him with 4 above average pitches now. So like, if you kind of average the stuff plus and the pitching bot plus stuff plus, he's got stuff kind of in the Tyler Molly, Zach Wheeler kind of zone, if you look at it. So I don't know. I like it. I'm tentatively, cautiously optimistic. I want him to be the Brady Singer of this year. From the left side, he plays in a good park. So I like it. And I'm by it.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with you there. Like I said, I'm buying as well. Oh, so it looks like I might have picked the wrong guy in the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen because I have way too many shares of Sir Anthony Dominguez. I was like, he's better than Craig Kimbrel. Craig Kimbrel's going to blow up. They want to give him an extension, yada, yada, yada. He's 28 years old. It looks like I should have gone after Jose Alvarado, which always makes you think of pork out of Vado, which is a delicious dish. But Jose Alvarado, so are you buying Alvarado? I guess you kind of have to at this point, regardless of being a lefty, he's striking out the world. But as far as I know, hasn't got any saves yet. So where do we kind of fall on this? Are you buying Alvarado? I guess you probably already would have had to have bought him, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I bought him last week in a couple leagues and then put in couple bids this week. I think he's the guy. Even if it was easy for me to do it because I got him in tout because it saves plus holds, so it doesn't matter he doesn't have any saves. He finished the year strong last year, but I didn't pick him because of what you're saying. There's a lot of mouths to feed in that Philly bullpen. They also got Gregory Soto as well, another lefty, and so it was just, there was a lot of kind of four closers in that, so I stayed away. But then the skills started showing, and that's kind of what happened with Andrés Muñoz last year, where his K9 was just so good that even though he wasn't the closer, he was just worth it, and then he kind of eventually became co-closer. So I got Alvarado, and I a lot of the discourse on Twitter this past week was, how much do you bid on Jose Alvarado, who's, I think he struck out 11 out of 14 guys. His stuff plus is very high. But he doesn't have a save, like he said. So how much can you like conscientiously bid on this guy? So I got him, I think $46, and I'm very happy with it. I would have got up to 90 because in TGFBI, where I lost Edwin Diaz in the second round, I'm fighting for saves and ratios. So he fit the bill for me. So actually I got him in TGFBI for $97 yesterday. And I don't regret it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So there you go, man. You got him. I agree. All right. Alec Burleson, who has been playing, actually he's batting second last I looked, for the Cardinals, corner outfielder, just another outfielder in this outfield that is just, like, there's so many options. And when Lars Nootbaar eventually comes back to his become rightful heir and have his breakout candidacy fulfilled, my prophecy fulfilled. What are your thoughts there with Alec Burleson and, you know, overall, like what sort of are you buying or selling? Cause I think I'm selling a little bit here. I'm buying in the interim. I think Burleson is fine, but like, I just don't think he's going to hold down the job long-term. I think he's going to end up being in a playing time conundrum soon enough. So buying or selling with Alec Burleson?
Yeah, I think it's too risky to buy. Like you said, Nootbaar's going to be back very soon. They also have Juan Yepez, and we already know the outfield situation before that. I would run with him. If I have him, I would hold. I don't know if I'd sell, but I think people are going to be tentative buying anyway. I know he's batted second against lefties, but like you said, Newbar's coming back. He's not going to be long for that hitting spot in the lineup. So yeah, it's more of a like not buying, but not really selling, because I don't really think you're going to get that much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Agree. Like, he's not somebody I'm necessarily buying or selling. Ji-Hwan Bae, we already discussed that one. I don't think we have to go back over that one, Dylan. Do you have anything additional to say about Ji-Hwan Bae? I think we're kind of buying at this point, because who else are you going to buy in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we don't need to talk any further.
All right, Joey Weimer. Joey Weimer is going off, man. I love to see it. It looks like the contact has been a little better than we would have expected. Hey man, I've loved Joey Weimer since he had his really ugly swing on the Cape with, you know, Harwich, when he was a long blonde haired Cincinnati guy who got a lot of awkward Hunter Pence comps. The approach is good. Like, he's got a 16%. Granted, it is 31 plate appearances, but he's got a 16% K rate and just a touch under 13% walk rate in 296, 387, 41. We know there's power. We know there's speed. There's opportunities abound there. Yeah, man. I had a couple places where I could have held on to Weimer in like shallower dynasty leagues. You guys actually let him go. I didn't protect him in Highlander, and I kind of wish that I did now. Kind of feel like an idiot. I do have Sal Frelick, who I think will be up eventually, but Joey's playing well, man. He's making a name for himself. And I think there's like such power and speed upside. I am absolutely buying 100%. So no questions asked. You buying or selling on Joey?
I didn't realize how good he was doing. I knew superficially he was doing well, but I hadn't really dug in. And yeah, you're right. I mean, the swinging strikes at under 10%. I do this sort of in-season metric. Like kind of last 30 days and roll through, and he's like right in the middle. He's like directly average. Like, he's a guy I expected would have like you're mentioning, a high strikeout rate, and then like, so that's gonna put pressure on the batting average, and he'll be like the theme of this podcast, a Sam Hilliard / Dylan Moore type, where you got the power and speed, but you're not gonna get the batting average. But it looks like he's for what it's worth, at least in these 30 plate appearances, he's doing quite well. And strikeout rate and contact rate stabilizes fairly quickly. So, I mean, it is possible that he's unlocked something here. So it's like the Brewers were kind of maligned for their hitting development. And then now you got Garrett Mitchell, you got Joey Weimer, you got Bryce Terang, all kind of stepping up and performing better than expected from what their minor league performance was suggesting. So maybe that we're a bit too hard on the Brewers hitting development.
Yeah, no, I kind of like the Brewers, man. I'm into it. I'm into the hitting development. I like a lot of these guys. Like Sal Frelick, I got a ton of Garrett Mitchell, or as my friend Rob Sherwood would call, the G code. I got him all over the place. Anyway, the next one, Jake Berger. Jake Berger was picked up in a bunch of my leagues this week. He's seeing some more increased playing time as well. There's a guy you could have gotten, like, even like my 30 team league, you could have gotten Jake Berger for absolutely nothing. Granted, it's like 8 plate appearances, but there's some opportunity maybe there potentially. I don't know. Are we buying Jake Berger? I think I'm selling on this one. Unless you're in like the deepest of the league, this is really not somebody I'm all that interested in adding.
Yeah. I mean, I long term, he's definitely not that valuable of an asset. I mean, Eloy's injured, and then Yoan Moncada has some sort of back tightness. Berger has had a couple, I think, really, really high exit velocities, like 2 or 3 already. So I think this is just a temporary guy you pick up for the next couple weeks, but not a long-term investment.
Yeah. You know, I kind of agree here as well. You know, whatever. I mean, it's Jake Berger, man. Best to him. He's been through you know, some rough times with the back-to-back seasons with the Achilles heels injuries. That stinks. Akil Baddoo, man. I am all in on adding a little bit more Akil Baddoo. An unfortunate situation there with Austin Meadow going on the IL with anxiety. You know, it's something that I'll ever criticize anyone over. And some of the comments you saw were really ugly. But that is beside the point. Batters back, man. 24 years old. I mean, this guy at 22 years old in 2021, you know, had a pretty damn good season. He had a two war season, just about, at 259, 334, 36, 13 homers, 18 steals, and new stolen base rules. I'd love to see Batu kind of find his old form. I'm not buying him in 12 team leagues. Maybe I'll stream him. 16, I would have to have like five outfielders and somebody on the IL, or a couple guys in the IL. Deeper leagues, if he's out there, absolutely. It's even somebody like in a 30 team league, if like where you're always looking for that, you know, additional depth and like that bench piece guy that you can kind of add. He's somebody maybe I'd throw like a mid round, later round pick on, just to see what happens. Yeah, I'm kind of buying on Batu because he's going to have opportunity. I just don't know what it's going to be. And he's still young enough to turn it around, new organization, sort of, in terms of the front office and some of the things that are going on in Detroit. So I'm in on Batu, man. Like, yeah, give it to me. What say you, Dylan? Are you buying or are you flying?
I do like Batu. Because he's so young and because he steals bases, he's kind of like a 15-20 guy. He shows well on the sort of like what's his long-term 3-year window of value in fantasy, because he's still not at his prime. So he's going to get more fantasy value over the next 3 years. He was hitting at the top of the lineup, so he had a good season, like he said that one time. The problem is the platoon split. So he still can't hit same side pitching, and that's lefties. So I am cautiously optimistic. I know he was picked up in a lot of leagues because Meadows may be out for a long time. Who knows with these types of, I don't know, you can't call it injury situations. They could be lingering, or it could be, you know, just the 10 days. But yeah, I guess my point is I'd buy in a dynasty league. I'd buy. I wouldn't pay that much. But if you could get a 2020 guy with like a 250 batting average for the next 3 or 4 years, obviously that's extremely valuable. And that is definitely within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. All right. Let's go and move on to somebody who's a little bit more interesting, I think, and has a little bit more upside. Josh Lowe, not Lau. He's an actual Lowe. Lowe, Tampa Bay, opportunities there. I think the numbers are pretty good as well. Still only 25. Like, there's been power, there's speed. Like, it's only 24 plate appearances, but the strikeout rate looks like it's in check. We know, like, you know, when he plays, he can be good. It's just a matter of, like, there's probably going to be some platooniness to this one. What's your take on Josh Lowe? I think I'm buying on this one, actually, but maybe much to my detriment, because I always buy it on Lowe and then he disappoints me. But are you buying it on Lowe?
Am I going to buy low?
Like that.
There's an emotional component to this. I have liked Josh Lowe for a long time, and then I was frustrated and traded him. And so I'm kind of not, I've kind of turned my back on him. But I mean, everything here is looking good. Like you said, like the swinging strike is 5%. The ground ball rate is 26%. He's really getting the ball up in the air. He's not hitting it. He's not rolling it over. The strikeout rate is great. Right now he's like a 200 WRC plus. I think the issue with him is the platoons as well, right? Even if he didn't have splits, the Rays are going to platoon him anyway, because that's what they're doing. The opportunity for him now with Jose Siri being injured, I think is good and increased, and I hope he can run with it. I do wish him well, even despite what I said earlier. I don't know. I'm a bit worried that, like, I'm more worried in Josh Lowe than Joey Weimer, and Akil Badu even, maybe. But I don't know if there's any rationale to that.
Yeah, I think that is fairly reasonable. So there you go. But I think those are some good ones. We have some other names here. I don't know if you want to go into. Josh Norris had a great article last week going through some names that had popped in the backfield for scouts. I've seen a bunch of these guys added all over the place. Big one for me was Mario Shendrick Martinez. Mario Shendrick Martinez. Martinez. I think I said it right one way or another. It's M-A-I-R-O-S-H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K. Martinez. M-A-R-T-I-N-U-S. It sounds like a spelling bee, but the first name is so long, I feel like I really got to spell it for you. So you know what I'm talking about here. I don't know. I'm buying on it. The numbers are good. Like, he hits well. Like, the reports have been awesome. It's a fun name. If you're in a deep enough league, go after him. I've been going after, like anywhere that I can add him, I've been adding Nelson Rada. He's 17 years old. He's not going to be 18 until just about my anniversary, like the 24th of August. So, like, he is very much 17 years old. This guy wouldn't even be draft eligible until next year if he was in American high school. He's at a full season affiliate. I'm kind of into it. Like, I want to see what happens here. I understand it's the Angels. He's somebody that I am adding, like, all over the place if I can get him, because he's fairly free at this point. And if he pops, he pops. Great. I know Justin Robleski, we talked about last week, was also in that article. That's a left-hander for the Dodgers. They had taken the 11th round, coming off of Tommy John surgery in 2021 when he was a transfer. I think he was at, of course, I'm going to forget now. I want to say it was like, I'm going to forget where he was first. I want to say it was Florida State, maybe? And then was at a JUCO, and then, or whatever. He ended up at Oklahoma State. And, it's some of the best left-handed stuff in the Dodgers system. And Dodgers are always loaded, man. They're just great, right? You can't knock them too much. So I don't know if you're buying any of those guys, if there's anybody else you want to mention. I know that we also had a couple other names, but we're pushing up on 50 minutes here. And I don't like to go too much longer than that in our podcast. Leave something for the imagination.
I mean, I like Nelson Rada. I have him in one of my 20 team dynasties because he's so young, and his stat cast was actually pretty good. He had like a plus contact rate. He didn't chase as well. I think it was plus chase rate. His like Z contact minus chase rate was like double plus. So like, he's got the good hit tool. And he was so young. And so I have him. I ran a preliminary Robo Scout of low A, and he is number four, actually. Cam Collier with 8 plate appearances, number one. Number two, Leonardo Balcazar. Number three, Samuel Basalo, the catcher for the Orioles, who has a couple bombs. And then Nelson Rada, just ahead of Elijah Green. So, I mean, these are our very popular names. These are the sexy names of low A that you want to get. And looks like RoboScout's kind of validating that as well. That article by Josh was just incredible. 50 names. It's always like you were saying, how you saw a bunch of these names get picked up in your league. It's the same thing. Like Estuar Suero and the Padres got picked up. Martinez got picked up, and not for a buck either. There were double digit bids for these guys. So people who are in the know, they read Baseball America to get the insights on the prospects. So it's that edge I used to have is rapidly dwindling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. hey, we're just going to have to I told Josh today on the editorial call, I said, Josh, the next time you drop a banger like this and you got some names, please allow me some headway so I can pick these players up in my leagues and I can have the upper hand. And he said, no, Jeff. That's why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for the people. First part is true. The second part isn't. Josh, he's a man of the people. What can I say? Josh Norris, man of the people. Go and check that article out. We're going to have some more stuff. I'm actually going to have a like 20 plus pitching prospects that could break out in 2023, but they're far less interesting in Dynasty. There's some names that I'm really interested in, and even some guys that I watched this first week in baseball. Baseball is back. The full schedule. We got college. We got draft content that's really heating up. We got Major League Baseball. We got all levels of the full season minors going. I'm going to be back in Florida because I just can't stay away. Apparently it's my third Florida trip in like a month and a half. So I guess, we're going to talk to you next week from Florida. Any closing thoughts, Dylan, before we say goodbye to our wonderful listeners?
The top 400 dynasty list is we're putting the finishing touches on. There's been some movement. You know, Jeffrey Springs is up. Jesus Luzardo's up. The injuries like Edwin Diaz and Painter are down. Cavalli down. So that will be coming out in the next few days, imminently. It'll be coming out. But yeah, no, just watching baseball, watching my teams go up and down the standings and yeah, pretty much enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, thank you for listening once again. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week. Best of luck this week in Dynasty and Fantasy and all else. And we hope that we can help you a little bit. It makes us happy at the end of the day.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.